serving spiritual seekers around the world. Unity FM.
If you'd like to make a positive difference in the world, you can by contributing to Unity FM online radio. We rely on listener support to broadcast the messages of unity to an awakening world. To contribute, visit www.unity.fm and click on Donate. Thank you.
Welcome to Unity Family Matters with Reverend Jennifer Holder from Unity Church of the Triangle in Raleigh, North Carolina, and her husband, ministerial candidate Ogun Holder, broadcasting live from Unity Village. Good parenting doesn't happen by default. It is intentional. It is a decision about who you will be and what you will do in your family life. Now, here are your hosts, Jennifer and Ogun.
Okay. All right. Welcome to another episode of Unity Family Matters. This is Ogun broadcasting to you live from the studios at Unity Village. And a wonderful good afternoon to my beautiful co-host and wife and partner and mother of my child. And if you listened last week, the lover of this man, Reverend Jennifer Holder in Raleigh. Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, I'm only known as Reverend Jennifer to you on the show. How funny is that? Hello, everyone. It is a delight to be with you.
Everybody needs to know your proper credentials here, you know.
Oh, thank you.
You're the minister. Yes. I am the student.
For today. It might change in the next 5 minutes. Who knows?
You just never.
Welcome, everybody. It is such a joy to be here joining Ogun and joining you, our listeners. Remember that our passion around Unity Family Matters is the idea that we are here to honor that divine light that is within each of us, all of those who are in our family, and we love to highlight the special gift of relationships that occur between a parent and child and co-parents, as well as truly honoring that it takes a village to raise a child. So if you're invested in the life of a child or you're invested in the relationships in your life, here's a show for you. So glad that we are able to be together.
And as usual, a special hello to our live listeners. If you want to call in live today, our number is 888-55-UNITY. That's 888-558-6489. And if you're listening by podcast, thank you so much for taking the time and the effort to stay on this journey with us. Special hello to our Facebook fans, or apparently now Facebook doesn't have fan pages. We have like pages. So for all 530 something of you who like us on Facebook, thank you very much. Extra special shout out to some folks who checked in during the week: Ramona, Priscilla, Melissa, Paris, just a few of the people who visited our page and let us know they were there. If you like to Twitter, you can find us at UFamilyMatters. And if you want to friend us for live Facebook chat while the show is going on, find Jen Ogun Holder and friend us there. J-E-N-O-G-U-N is the first name identity. And you can also shoot us an email, unityfamilymatters@unity.fm. And I think that's all there is about that.
So, Ogun, I wanted to share today that I was on the website a couple days ago, intent.com, I was going to say, you kind of sparked me to check that out. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, intent.com is a site, I believe, founded by Malika Chopra, who's one of Deepak Chopra's daughters. And the idea is for people as create, you know, a page like you do on Facebook, and rather than just post what you're doing, you post your intention. It may be the intention for the day, for that minute, for that hour, for a lifetime, and you get to know and connect with other people who may be on that similar intention stream as you are. So it's a real positive twist on social networking and connection, intent.com.
Thank you very much. Well, I simply got very excited because I follow Google Alerts. And I love this idea of what is our intent. And she writes in Be a Better Parent 101. And so she defines being a better parent really is around being able to follow what our intents are. Wanting to be a better parent, she says, means some combination of wanting to find more time with our kids, more patience, more joy, less guilt, fewer arguments, and less exhaustion. And what I really loved was where she talked about how we can actually live that. And so I'm quoting her in this article. She says, in all of my research on parenting, I come back to the same conclusion again and again. The best gift you can give your child is a healthy marriage on which they can model all of their own present and future relationships.
Mm.
She goes on to say that it's incredibly tempting to be child-centered in our culture. Being centered on your spouse or partner first will do more for your children than all the other things that you give them combined. And so I thought, here's just another person who really knows that same concept we've been talking about for several weeks now, about the value of conscious relationships as we look at ourselves and how we choose to be with each other in relationship to our families. And our expanding definition of the word family includes those neighbors, aunts, uncles, those people who are invested in the lives of our children.
Yes. And what we're really doing as parents, if you know the situation where there are two parents, what we're doing is we're modeling, we're basically teaching our children as they watch us how to be in relationship with a partner in the future, how to resolve issues, how to argue good ways or not so good ways, how to show expressions of love. I mean, there's no class for this. Kids pick this up by watching their parents. And I love my parents, and I know you love ours, and we picked up what we did from them, and I think we transcended and include. Is that the phrase we like to use? We transcended and we included. I don't know about you growing up, but...
How about, honey, we took those things which we decided we want to use to serve us in creating family, and those things which we're choosing not to include, we work consciously to not shift into automatic gear.
This is why you're the minister, I'm still the student.
I don't know that was
beautifully put. That was the way I was trying to say it. It sounded that way in my head, but then when I started speaking, it didn't really come out that way. But yes, and I'll give you an example is you know, expressions of public displays of affection and intimacy was not something I grew up experiencing coming from Barbados. It was just not something I saw. And I think it's still in my default nature not to do that. I have to consciously remember to do things like that. So... yeah, learning
what do you
experience.
Mean, what do you have to consciously think about doing, darling? What are you,
you
holding
know,
my hand as we walk down the street?
Perhaps, yes. And you know, us being at home or among other people and leaning over and giving you a kiss, those were not things that were modeled for me. They're not part of my embedded behavior or relationship model. Yes, there you go. It's not embedded. So it's even after all this time, still a conscious, I got to remember to do these things, not because I per se have to or don't have to, but because I know it's something that's valuable to you as well. And it's ultimately valuable to me. So I need to remember that. And I had a great insight in class the other day about this.
Okay.
And I'll share that.
This is why you fly back and forth from Raleigh to Kansas City on a regular basis.
This is getting our money's worth right here.
There you go.
So I was in a class. And this class is pastoral studies, and it's basically a class teaching us ministers how to be in a pastoral counseling session with a congregant. And needless to say, this particular class was talking about the issue of understanding the nature of domestic violence. So we were looking at some slides, and the instructor was giving us some information. And one of the things that he said that kind of perked my ears up was that he said verbal abuse very often goes unrecognized by health professionals, psychiatric professionals. Verbal abuse goes unrecognized. And he says one of the main reasons this is because it is so subtle. And he gave some examples of statements that are really verbally abusive statements. And these come from a book called The Verbally Abusive Relationship by Dr. Patricia Evans. And when he shared these statements, I was blown out of the water simply because I know I have said these things to you many times. And I went through my cycle of shock, shame, anger, the whole thing. And finally, I got home that evening and I called you and I said, I need to apologize because I've said these things to you and I had no idea that these were potentially verbally abusive statements. So statements like, you're jumping to conclusions. Statements like, can't you take a joke? I was just joking. You blow everything out of proportion. You take everything too seriously. You don't know what you're talking about. It looks like you're trying to start a fight. You're making a big deal out of nothing. You read in my mind and you're taking my words and you're twisting them around. Those kind of statements. And I thought, wow, there were like 10 of them on that screen and about 8 or 9 of them I have shared. And some of them weren't even when I was in being angry and fighting unfair. These were just like, you know, throwaway comments. And I was really surprised and really shocked. Needless to say, I went out and I bought the book, The Verbally Abusive Relationship. I'll be reading it. It was very insightful. So extended apologies again.
I appreciate your willingness to be so authentic and honest on air. So I'll just address it specifically to you and say that I feel a real healing and a wholeness in our exchange around this topic, and I still feel it right now because while I didn't identify those as verbally abusive at the time, I'll be honest, I called them cultural differences. I really did. I just talked them up as, oh, well, you know, maybe I am crazy. Or maybe that's just the way that he's been spoken to himself.
This is the relationship that's been modeled for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Stuff like that. And you also made a good insight when I told you that, and you said, hey, maybe this is why when you have said those things in the past, it makes me feel angry.
Well, it's why I would get to that angry stage.
Right.
Remember,
right.
One of my tools I've been working on, Ogun, is that nobody is making me anything.
Yeah.
But it was interesting that because I've spent some time thinking about that, and so if something is going on and that's the statement that you feed to respond to what's going on for me, and it begins to escalate, maybe the escalation is a two-way street experience. But this is part of what being in relationship is about, is discovering different aspects about ourselves and looking at how they play out in our relationship.
Yes.
Yeah. And how that really does influence not only what we're modeling in front of our children, as I like to say to Joy, our 9-year-old, we really are at every moment teaching others how to treat us by the way that we treat ourselves, by the things that we say internally to ourselves and the things that we say externally to other people around us. And in family relationships is where it gets started.
Yeah.
Well, that's not as light and cheery as our typical first part of the show is.
I know. I felt like I've been in confessional.
Unity doesn't have confessional, honey.
Exactly. And
okay, I thought maybe that was a changed part of the curriculum at the new school now.
Well, you know, I think confession is good for the soul.
Oh.
So, you know, maybe the Catholics were on to something there.
Maybe reconciliation is incredibly important
to
our relationship and to our spiritual relationship.
Yes.
So, Ogun, do you have anything else around Unity Family Matters that you want to share?
I don't know. Do I?
Well, I was going to just do a touchstone to Ogun being back in Kansas City. Now you've been there 4 weeks into this new term, and we're doing the, the East Coast Midwest?
East Coast Midwest. There you go.
Co-parenting experience?
Yes.
And I've been feeling much gratitude for the ability to communicate and have the telephone, the cell phone, the texting, the Skyping, the Google talking. I recently had a conversation with my mother who was reminding me that I was a little bit older than Joy. I was 11 when my parents, due to my father's job, had a transfer, and he was in another state for 9 months while my mother did solo parenting. And she used to talk about how she would call my father, who was living with his parents at the time, because they lived nearby the new town where we would be moving to. And it was before there was call waiting.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it's really interesting when we forget the advantages of today's technology in assisting us. So I'm not sure how much time we have left on this segment, Ogun, but I want to jump into a little bit about what we're going to be focusing on with our guest.
I'm very excited about today's show. Yes.
Yeah. We're going to focus today on relationships and seeing relationships as another way of discovering ourselves. And I like the phrase, another way of discovering our own divine nature, which is part of my passion. So today we're going to be joined by Marty Babbitts, who is the author of The Power of the Middle Ground, A Couple's Guide to Renewing Your Relationship. We'll tell you a little bit more about him in just a few moments, but I'm going to jump right into my favorite quote. I love this. He says, rather than functioning within the parameters of constantly judging who is right or wrong, most or least worthy, most or least blameworthy, instead of operating within those love-busting parameters, learn how to anchor yourself in the outcome you need for the relationship you want. So slowing down the reactivity and thinking about the situation rather than going with the knee-jerk response is a step into the middle ground. Ogun, tell us a little bit about Marty.
Marty is a psychotherapist that's worked with hundreds of families and couples over the past 25 years. He supervises family and couples at the Institute for Contemporary Psychotherapy in New York City. He's written numerous articles, and he's a certified reading specialist as well. And this book, The Power of the Middle Ground, A Couple's Guide to Renewing Your Relationship, you can purchase it online. There's a website as well, which we will show you about later. And he has his own private practice in New York. And when he comes on the air, we'll talk about how we're kind of sort of related.
Let's weigh in with Myrtle's words of wisdom, remembering that co-founder of Unity, Myrtle Fillmore, was very passionate about the children and relationships. And so in Myrtle Fillmore's Healing Letters, we read, the love that is the fulfilling of the law is not the personal affection, the clinging to personality that is the usual expressing of happily mated man and woman. Love that fulfills the law is the great sense of unity that prompts the soul to seek the understanding and practice of that which is for the welfare not only of the beloved, but for all humanity. Okay, I'm going to read just a phrase of that again. I love this. She says, love that fulfills the law. And remember, in Myrtle Fillmore's Healing Letter, she's responding to people who've written her and asking questions. And this section is actually in the book talking to married couples. She says, love that fulfills the law is the great sense of unity that prompts the soul to seek the understanding and practice of that which is for the welfare not only of the beloved, but of all humanity. I know that it's time for us to go to a break, so we'll be back in just a few moments when we'll be joined with Marty Babbitts and talk a little bit more about this concept of this love and to be creating relationships around this idea of the power of the middle ground. We'll be back in just a few moments on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Exploring our oneness with spirit and each other. Unity FM.
Have you ever waited in line for hours, even days, for the latest cell phone, gaming system, or concert tickets? Right now, there are people waiting in line for hours, even days, for a simple pair of shoes. And for many of the children waiting, this will be the first pair they've ever owned. There are over 300 million children in the world without shoes. And Unity is reaching out to reduce that number. With your donation, new flip-flops will be provided to those in need. You can send one person a pair for $5, a family for $20, enough for an entire school for $100, or an entire village for $250. Visit www.shoesforunity.org to see how you can change the world one pair at a time. That's www.shoes4unity.org. Somewhere, tucked away in the Unity Library archives in Unity Village, Missouri, you can find a secret treasure. They are the scripts from Unity co-founder Charles Fillmore's early days on broadcast radio, the teachings of Unity's founders, almost 100 years old. Now, for the first time in history, you can hear them through the power of the Internet. Join Bob Brock every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, for Unity Classic Radio, Words from Our Past. Discover the wisdom of Charles Fillmore's talks and of other Unity radio speakers read on the air again. Call in your comments and questions as Bob and his special guests revisit Unity radio talks of the past, along with historical background from the early days of the Unity movement. That's Unity Classic Radio, Words from Our Past, every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, right here on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
You're listening to Unity Family Matters with Jennifer and Ogun Holder. If you'd like to share your questions, comments, and insights on this week's topic, call us now toll-free at 888-346-9194. We now return to Unity Family Matters.
All right, welcome back from the break. This is Ogun and Jennifer Holder. You're listening to Unity Family Matters. And we are thrilled to be joined today by author of this amazing book called Power of the Middle Ground, Dr. Marty Babbitts. Welcome to the show, Marty.
Hi, I'm so happy to be here.
Great.
And kind of inspired by some of the things I've been hearing.
Oh, that's good. That's what we like to do. We like to inspire.
Yeah. If I can say so, I just want to point out that what the process that you outlined, Ogun, when you said you had an insight after being exposed to the Verbally Abusive Relationship book.
Yeah.
And you took that insight in a very non-defensive way and realized that rather than defending the way you've been, you needed to shift and make a statement to Jennifer. Now, that shifting, that's what I call a step into the middle ground.
Well,
and the healing that comes from it, when you extended your new awareness into the incidences that had happened around those seemingly very innocuous comments that you made that were subtle and low-key but minimizing of your partner. And you not only said, honey, I'm sorry I said those things, but you're also saying, honey, you don't deserve to be minimized because you're more than that, and you mean more than that to me. So when you step into the middle ground, you validate a lot in very simple statements. And I really thought that was beautiful.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. And I got to say, if I'd read what I'd read or heard what I'd heard, rather, 2-3 years ago, probably would not have had the same response. So it's just that constant awareness and being right. being willing to.
Yeah, it's a progressive opening up process.
Yeah. Well, when we talk about the middle ground, this is what we've been referring to. Can you tell our listeners what are we referring to exactly by the middle ground?
Okay, the middle ground, every relation, if you imagine an office where there was no place to do work. It's hard to imagine what the purpose of the office. imagine a relationship where there's no place to do the relationship work that needs to be done. And that's the reason why 50% of marriages end in divorce. They don't, this place that people need in order to process new feelings, make discoveries about each other, allow for shifts and changes as people grow, allow for people to absorb and detoxify stress, that place doesn't exist in a lot of relationships. I call that place the middle ground.
Hmm.
And, you know, I characterize it in three very quick ways. One is, in order to be there, you have to make a conscious decision to want to be there. And you have to orient yourself, or I like the word unity, you have to unite yourself with the principle of making a conscious commitment. And then the second condition is you have to be ready to create emotional safety between yourself and the partner, and your partner. And I agree with what Jennifer was saying. If you have a healthy relationship between parents, you're creating emotional safety for the family. And you're just, you know, you're creating an atmosphere of nourishment, emotional nourishment. The third condition is to create a blame-free zone. So those three things, conscious commitment, emotional safety, and creating a blame-free zone, that puts you in the middle ground. And that's a goal. A lot of people can't get right into it. They have to approach it. They have to work their way into it. And it's very powerful. I titled the book The Power of the Middle Ground.
Yeah.
Because we need each other. We need to be in a united state. We need to feed each other. Human beings can't make it on their own. And a middle ground is a natural way that people can help each other sustain a living, creative attitude. Now, I do call it a sacred space.
Mm.
You know, and it's, you know, for those people who have good connotations to the word sacred, not everybody's religious, but, you know, whether it's in a traditionally religious way or a personally spiritual way, in whatever way it's meaningful to you to have faith in creating a space where you can transcend and detoxify problems. And we all need
Marty,
that.
Let me ask you, does every relationship have a middle ground, or shall we say maybe a middle ground potential?
Every relationship, you know, what I say is a middle ground heals couples. It can and does heal couples. Also parent-child relationships, professional partnerships, friendships, wherever one person's humanity intersects with another's, a middle ground is possible. Of course, mm-hmm. some relationships are more personal than others, so that's different. You know, but you still want to have every relationship be as human as possible. And that's another way of saying it has as much of a middle ground as possible.
Mm.
So the short answer is yes, but not to romanticize that, you know, when you, if somebody pumps gas for you, you don't have much of a middle ground in that relationship. But still, you respect the person for what they're doing. They respect you for what you're doing. And it makes a difference in life if we respect each other.
Now,
in small and big ways.
Is this concept different from the idea of meeting you halfway? You know, we talk about that, I'm going to meet you halfway, almost in a sense of compromising
really
a little bit.
It's very different than that, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
It's fine to meet people halfway, and it's fine to compromise certain situations. But the middle ground is really an expansive concept, and it's about working creatively and productively with what you add on as you go. Like, you had a new insight into what it meant to be verbally abusive, right?
Right.
You expanded the consciousness of your relationship with Jennifer. by bringing that insight into the relationship. There's no compromise there, right? I could say, gee, you compromised your old way of thinking by creating a new way of thinking or accepting a new way of thinking. So in that sense, maybe some people would see that as a compromise, but I see it more as a growth process. Mm. And, you know, it's like when people get together, essentially sometimes struggle, but learn. Sometimes learning is easy, sometimes it's difficult. But learn ways to make each other's lives better. Learn ways to support each other. Learn ways to be compassionate towards each other. When people are able to do that, it isn't the relationship that limits or forces compromises on them. It's the reality of their overall situation.
Right.
So, like the middle ground doesn't force compromises. Reality sometimes does.
Mm. Yeah. Isn't that the truth? Yeah, well, and I want to just let our listeners know that the power of intention that we just briefly touched on at the beginning of the show. I've been reading the book, The Power of the Middle Ground, for on and off for about 2 months, but mm-hmm. It was in the last week preparing for this show that I really got down into the meat of it, and Ogun didn't know anything about that. He'd perused the book, but I was taking the lead on the show, and so for him to have this serendipitous insight while I was reading this book and really digesting and getting excited about really the power of the middle ground work we've done over the last, Ogun, I don't know what I'd say, 5 or 6 years since uh-huh. we've been married for 12, the serendipitous experience of that, I think, has that spiritual connotation of when both partners are committed to growth in the relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
That it comes at the right way and at the right time.
So you're saying I get bonus points because I didn't even read the book? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Bonus
nice.
Points.
You got it going either way.
Wait till it's your next visit to Raleigh, honey.
All right. I'm out of here, folks. Got a plane to catch.
Marty, tell us why the term the middle ground. What is it really? Help explain what is it in the middle of.
Well, it's in the middle, it's in between selfishness, because you're acting with self-interest when you create a middle ground. It's good for you, but it's in the middle of selfishness and selflessness, because you want to be very giving also, but you want to extend yourself and also have yourself.
Huh. Oh, okay, I got to be with that. The middle of selfishness and selflessness. So,
right. It's somewhere in the middle. It's okay to really do what's good for you.
Right.
In other words, it's okay to hold on to your hopes and dreams and to nurture them. But at the same time, you extend support to your partner so that they can open up to their hopes and dreams. And if the relationship doesn't support both of you, there's something that you need to work on.
Now,
it has to be good for both of you.
Uh-huh. So I think one of the things that maybe sometimes Jennifer and I get into is, and perhaps you can shed a little light on this, when you say we're supporting each other, are we taking turns? Is it all happening at the same time? Do we go from, you know, one of us being more selfless than the other until the other gets
well,
to their point?
Good, that's a good point. That couples really do have to take turns, and they have to be mindful. They have to take turns. Sometimes one person is fully extended, in other words, completely vulnerable, either because of stress or because they are in some way transcending themselves,
mm-hmm.
and they really need their partner to be there for them as an anchor. But it has to swing back the other way as well. So, in other words, there's a lot of flexibility that's very important in going through, there's a quote, it's not my quote, but it's a much happier state of affairs much happier state of mind to be interested in all the seasons than to be hopelessly in love with spring. Huh. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. You've got to be there for, if you know, when your partner is feeling good, it's really important to share that.
Right.
And when they're down, you know, it's like, and it has to go back and forth. Like, you've got to support each other's moods. It's got to be safe for you to have different moods. And, you know, particularly when you're trying to figure something out, it's important not, like, if you're going to listen non-defensively, you're going to hear your partner out. You're not going to be interrupting your partner while they're trying to explain how they feel to try to defend against what they're saying. You know, that wouldn't be a middle ground way of listening.
Right.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And you're also listening not only to your partner, you're also listening to yourself. You're listening to identify how you're listening. Am I listening with compassion? Am I listening with kindness? Am I listening to understand what, how this conversation will best serve my relationship, our relationship? You know, so taking turns isn't as simple as saying, well, tonight it's your night to choose what we eat for dinner, right?
Right.
But it's there. You have to. That's why this is. It's not. There are no strict formulas for it, but
gotcha.
You're trying to create a sense of justice
mm-hmm.
and really be there for each other and understand what's most important for each other. Like, sometimes if something is not important to one person, it's very important to the other, it's you're creating a spirit of generosity if the person who to whom it matters less will go along with their partner on that one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I hear you talking about the spirit of generosity as being one of those shared middle ground intentions.
Absolutely.
So if you want to create that, going back to the Malika Chopra quote, if you want to create that, you're doing what it takes to figure that out and have
Absolutely.
That be.
Yeah, and that's the work. That's a lot of people don't understand what work in relationships is. That's a lot of the work,
yeah.
figuring that stuff out. And it's hard. Some of it is mysterious,
yes.
you know, because it's not all visible. But you have a sense that it's there, because you know, we all know that human beings are very complex, and feelings
yeah.
run deep.
So, Marty, we've got a couple moments, 2 minutes before we go to our next break. Tell us who influenced you to develop the idea of the middle ground.
You know, I work with couples. I started out working with individuals, and then I was working in the Bronx Center for Community Services in New York City. And they started to assign families to me. So I was doing the best I could. I didn't have specific training in working with families, but I had, you know, I was licensed, but I hadn't specialized in working with families at that time. At this point, I have that credential. It started my thinking. It's something I've been thinking about for a very long time, this idea of a middle ground. Partly there's a thinker, his name is Martin Buber.
Yeah.
His ideas influenced me a lot. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, and he talks about an I-thou relationship
yeah.
between
yeah.
man and God, mm-hmm. which is a meeting of the minds. And essentially, middle ground communication is a meeting of the minds. And, you know, two minds can't be open unless both allow themselves to be vulnerable, which takes a lot of emotional safety.
Yes.
You know, so these are things, I think he's the major specific philosopher who influenced me. There's a couple of psychoanalytic writers, a guy named Winnicott, a British guy, who is a very powerful writer and a wonderful writer, who emphasizes creativity and its role in development.
Well, I'm going to ask Ogun if he'll put those two names up on our Facebook page for us so folks can Google them and find out a little more. We're going to continue our conversation with Marty Babbitts in just a few moments. We invite you to stay with us through this commercial break. We are Unity Family Matters on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Hi, my name is Lynn Twist. I'm the author of The Soul of Money. If you're struggling right now with a financial crisis, I recommend going to www.unityfm and listening to our course about the soul of money and how to handle this in a way that brings out the deep spirituality that's available at this time. You know, a crisis is a terrible thing to waste.
Join author Lynn Twist for The Blessing of the Financial Crisis. You'll learn new techniques to use the current economic situation to redefine your relationship with money. It's available now for immediate download at unity.fm in the video download section.
What exactly is spiritual social action? What makes it different than social action? What are other people doing? How can I make a difference? What does this have to do with church? Join Reverend Deborah Olive every Monday for insight into A World That Works. Explore what other ministries, churches, and centers are doing to make a positive difference on the planet. Engage in spirited dialogue with local and global leaders who are creating positive change. Dive deeply into spiritual principles that support you in being the Spirit of God in action, whether in your home, community, church, or worldwide. Call in to explore Unity principles put into action in real-life situations by people like you. A World That Works with Reverend Deborah Olive every Monday right here on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
You've been listening to Unity Family Matters with Jennifer and Ogun Holder. If you have a question or comment about today's discussion, call now, toll free at 888-346-9194. Or join us in the chat room at the Unity FM online community. Now back to Unity Family Matters.
All right, welcome back from the break. This is Ogun and Jennifer, and we are speaking with Marty Babbitts, author of The Power of the Middle Ground. Again, you can call us live, 888-55-UNITY, or if you want to just throw a post, a question, a remark up on our Facebook page, Unity Family Matters is our Facebook page.
And Ogun, I want to remind people that they may be listening to this as a podcast, and it's a show that I'm going to recommend to some friends that they go ahead and download as their podcast. And remember, all our shows are archived, so you can go back and listen to them whenever it's convenient, even though we are live 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Thursday.
Yes, and if you want to throw questions and comments up on the page even while you're listening by podcast, you can do that too. Or if you want to ask Marty questions directly, you can go to www.powerofthemiddleground.com, and he's got a spot on his page where you can send him an email. I hope he doesn't mind. I just volunteered him for that. But
absolutely. No, I appreciate you saying that.
There you go.
And I have a blog that's I started it, but I'm going to get much more active with it.
All right.
And I would love people to join in the dialogue.
So,
the middle ground.
Before we go on to the next question, I did say at the beginning I'd explain how we're kind of sort of related.
Yes, so, we are.
So Marty's sister, Olivia, is my Uncle Ken's wife. So, what does that make you, like, my, like, uncle-in-law once removed? I don't know how that works. But you're my uncle's brother-in-law.
I think in the English language, there's not a great specific designation for what we are,
right?
But I think second cousin is about what usually you call it. So we're second cousins.
I'll go with that.
You are the nephew of my brother-in-law.
Exactly.
Right? And I am the brother-in-law of your uncle.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, yes.
We have sat at the same table.
Yes, we have.
That's right.
And I remember you from Virginia.
Yes, we were living there at that time.
Yeah, yeah, you were there. I was. This goes back at least a dozen years.
At least.
More than that. Yeah, more than that.
We were there.
Well, I'm going to do a shout-out to Olivia because she gave us this book for Christmas. So isn't it wonderful when you can really experience and enjoy a gift like that that keeps on giving? And I'm definitely experiencing that today with our conversation.
Oh, thank you so much.
So
I'm glad that you enjoyed it, and it's very gratifying to me.
Great. So
thank
if you had to break this middle ground approach that we're talking about into some key ideas, you know, four or five things, what would those be, do you think?
Four or five key things. Okay, one of them, I'll try to do this quickly because I know we don't have that much time.
Okay.
First step along the journey to the middle ground is to lose the old way, to lose the way that's been leading nowhere. If you are arguing and not getting along, if you're not seeing eye to eye, most couples that are having problems say there's a communication gap, right?
Right.
So you want to turn that around. I have a number of exercises in the book. There's one, I call it the basic three-step. And the three steps are, don't blame. Don't target what you don't like about the other person. Target your own feeling. I feel frightened. State the situation in which you feel frightened. I feel frightened, for example, when you drive over the speed limit. And the third step is to invite your partner to talk about it. So it's not just an accusation. You're not just criticizing. So I feel frightened when you go above the speed limit, and I really want to talk about it with you so I feel more comfortable when we're driving together. Okay, so it's three steps. And what it does is it gives you a chance to talk about things that usually you just argue about. Okay? There's another exercise where I help people to notice what they consider to be a typical argument situation and to understand what it is, because the first step to change is awareness.
Mm.
So to really delineate what is the situation that you find yourself in time and time again. And then the second step is, let's say that argument was like a videotape that you were watching, and the videotape was showing you and your partner together. Now let's imagine there's a second camera in the room, and I call the exercise second camera, and that second camera is just focused on you, and it is reading whether the things you do are helping to increase communication or erode communication. Are you turning towards your partner, or are you turning away? Are you supporting what they say, or are you undermining what they say?
Mm, yes.
So, you know, it's like good, unified communication comes out of self-awareness, and self-awareness that extends into the middle ground and reaches the other person. So these are basic ideas. You know, the idea that the middle ground can't be controlled by one person or the other. If it's being controlled, it's not a middle ground anymore.
Right.
You know, that it's the middle ground is not just about feelings, it's not just about thoughts, it's about a mixture of the both.
Right.
Respect for the mind and the body.
Yeah.
Right? You know, the middle ground is in between the impact we have on each other and our intention. Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, like what you gave was a great example, Ogun. You said certain things that had a negative impact on Jennifer, but you didn't really intend that.
Okay.
You were coming from a place where you didn't realize what those words meant.
Right.
You certainly didn't think they were abusive.
Right.
Right? So there has to be a way for people to examine that and recognize when misunderstandings occur. Because it's true, people sometimes do hurt each other intentionally, but often people hurt each other unintentionally.
So the middle ground would be me finding a way to articulate where what I am feeling and where I am without having a negative impact on Jennifer.
Yeah, well, you stepped into the middle ground when you held yourself accountable for having said things that had an impact which you did not intend. So that was a really a complex middle ground maneuver.
Mm.
You know, to take new learning and use it in a creative, productive, loving way. That's the middle ground.
If I can weigh in on this, this idea that we're talking about right now reminds me of the 7 guidelines for middle ground communication that you have in the book.
It's related to that.
And especially the one that says, think about what your partner says in terms of who your partner is, which is how. I was just going to say, which is how when he said phrases that he's now understanding or minimizing, I would retranslate when I was calm, centered, not tired, not hungry, not sick, to know that there was no ill intent.
Yeah, and he in doing that, he was thinking about you in terms of who you were, and realizing that although those words meant a certain thing to him, they probably didn't have the same meaning and were not emotionally neutral to you.
Right.
So he was doing that thing. He was following this guideline. And the truth about these guidelines aren't things that I've made up. They're things that come out of relationships. You know, they're observations about things that work for people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the first guideline is avoid generalizing and stereotyping. And some people, their partners just put them in a, you know, they feel like they understand them a certain way. And if that person grows beyond the way they had been, there's no recognition for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another way people minimize each other. So that's, you know, I could go through the guidelines. Would you like me to quickly go through them?
Yeah, we've got about 3 minutes for you to do that. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. You know, do not blurt statements, do not blurt responses. That's self-explanatory. So, in other words, think before you speak. Right?
Yes.
No name-calling. Even though, you know, it's a book for adults and that's something you say to kids, it's so easy to forget to be careful about that, you know, when you're angry particularly. And it's really important to put a lid on destructive comments. They don't help anybody. And the idea that if you vent your anger, it makes anything better is just, there's a lot of research that shows that's not true. If you're really angry, it's good to say, hey, I'm really angry. Don't say something specific about your partner.
Yeah.
Just talk about your own feelings. Speak honestly and judiciously, again. Just common sense. Develop patience and sustain it. Easier said than done, but crucial. You know, a relationship has to... You can't force a person to open their heart. And you can't force a person to accept that things are emotionally safe. That has to develop on the basis of experience.
Mm.
So it takes patience to develop that.
You know?
So that's where that's coming from. And the last one is a timeout signal, which means, you know, if things are really bad, people feel powerless and helpless and overwhelmed. But they don't have to, because if things are really bad in a conversation and you have a pre-agreed signal, you give the signal and come back to it when you're better able to talk about it. And that can be very empowering. Otherwise, it's like you're in a car that has no brakes.
Yes.
Right?
I can see that.
Yeah, so you want to be able to slow things down, and that if you have a timeout signal, even if you're in talking about something very hot, you can slow it down. And that's a loving thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I also, it's not in the guidelines, but I also talk about having an insult substitute. you have a feeling you want to insult somebody, it's like calling names, of course, very similar, have something else in the back of your mind that you'll say when you're that angry, which something like, I'm so angry, I feel like insulting you.
So there's a lot of planning ahead involved here.
Planning ahead. And there's a lot of thinking involved.
Sure.
You know, there's a lot of, it's because the whole idea of the middle ground really is to bring the capacity for self-reflection alive and strengthen it.
Well, Marty, yes. That is a perfect note to end on, I think. Perfect note. And I want to tell our listeners that there's more information. I've got the link up on our Facebook page, but it is powerofthemiddleground.com. And again, information about the book, some questions, and you can even email and contact Marty from the website. I want to thank you so much for being on our show today.
I enjoyed it so much.
We've had the vision of having some episodes that are more geared towards people in the relationship, not just parents and kids, and this covers it all. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Marty.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too as well.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. So, Ogun, tell us what's happening next week.
All right. So next week, Judy Wright, who was on our show a few weeks ago, is returning, and we're going to talk about indigo children, which I think is going to be totally fascinating. Because I know that you've done some reading and research into that. And
I have, and Judy Wright's been on our show before, and so we're excited to have her weigh in on this particular topic.
And this week's affirmation, I say yes to the safety, the healing, and the power of the middle ground. I say yes to the safety, healing, and the power of the middle ground. So if you are in a relationship, you know someone in a relationship, you want to be in a relationship, which should cover about everybody, listen to this show again, send it to a friend, recommend, go to unity.fm and download the show from our archives. And thank you so much for joining us. And yeah, let's go find some middle ground.
Let's go find the middle ground. We'll see you next week. This is Jennifer and Ogun signing off for Unity Family Matters on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world.
Thank you for tuning in to Unity Family Matters with Reverend Jennifer and Ogun Holder. Join us every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern for more insights into spiritual parenting and how it connects to your life and family today. Unity Family Matters, only on Unity FM, the voice of an awakening world. To learn more about Unity Family Matters, visit our website at www.unityfamilymatters.com. This program is brought to you in part by Unity Church of the Triangle in Raleigh, North Carolina. Online at www.unitytriangle.org.